Welcome to Art for All, sponsored by Sketchbook School. As a thank you for joining us, I'd like to give you a free ebook and our monthly newsletter full of tips, recommendations, and other cool stuff. Just head over to sketchbookschool.com to claim your freebies and to learn more about our classes and workshops and our membership program. We believe that art is for everyone, and I hope our podcast inspires you to create and explore your own artistic journey. Thanks for listening. On with the show.
And you think it's your fault. You think, oh, I don't have any talent. I'm not good at this. When in fact, it's not you. It's the fact that the materials are not giving you the capacity to experience and to create and express what you could create and express if you're working with the materials that open those doors for you. If this were a musical, Danny, this is where I burst into song. I feel that strongly about this.
Welcome to Art for All, the Sketchbook School podcast. I'm your host, Danny Gregory. I'm the author of a dozen or so books on art and creativity, and I'm a sketchbook artist, and I'm also the founder of Sketchbook School. In each episode of Art for All, I invite a friend to talk about things that matter to us. It's the sort of unhurried conversation we don't get enough of these days, and I hope you'll enjoy it with us. Today, I'm going to be talking to David Pyle. David is an author, a publisher, a prize-winning watercolor painter, and he's been working in and around the art supply world for decades. He teaches at Colorado State University and also at Sketchbook School. He also has a degree in chemistry, which comes in handy when it comes to explaining how pigments bond to paper. David knows everything about everything related to art supplies, and I always learn so much from talking to him. I wrote this essay last week, which is about my experience with gouache. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like I always say to people, buy the best art supplies you can afford. And then I ended up writing this essay in which I said, you know what? I don't really necessarily believe that. I mean, I believe it conceptually, but I think that it's like that old adage about photography. They always say the best camera is the one you have with you. And I realized that like the form of art supplies can really dictate whether or not it's convenient to use them. And if it's inconvenient, even if it's better quality, you don't end up using them.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do we advise people then? Do we say use the best, or what do we say to them?
Well, I think that the caveat, which is included in that statement, is use the best that you can afford and the best that's available. There's this constant tension around, well, you know, if I use the best and I pay the money for the best and I don't produce something that's really worthwhile, then have I wasted the materials? And, what I've always told people in my, I started working in art materials in 1982.
So they had art materials back then?
40 years ago. They did. So, you know, we had to cut the hair off of the horse's tail and grind our own stuff. What I've always said is using the best that you can afford. And if you can afford the best, it enhances your process. It opens doors for you and allow you to explore your expressive process in a way that a lower quality or lesser quality material is not going to afford you. Life's a balancing act, right? I always try to go out when I'm making art with the best that I've got available. And I've worked hard to figure out, you know, things that are compact and that I can use in a small area, or I can get things out quickly and set up quickly. But, you know, there's also just no substitute for just having a sketch pad and a pencil or a sketch pad and a pen.
When you have good quality materials, they behave consistently. Your colors may be brighter. With brushes, it's particularly obvious. When you use a really cheap brush, like, you quickly start to regret it. I think when it comes to the quality of one manufacturer's paint over another, can be a bit harder to tell. You know, it's not as immediate a feeling, but something like gouache, which is, you know, you want it to be opaque. That's the whole reason you're using it.
Yeah.
And an inferior quality one with, I guess it's the binders that are the issue, or is it the pigment? I'm not sure what the
Well, it's the binders and it's the pigment and it's other stuff that gets added in. So in color, yes, you're absolutely right. Once you're talking artist quality, whatever nomenclature that you want to use, or professional quality, there are the differences from a really high quality, from different high quality manufacturers start to become a matter of preference. Winsor & Newton is fabulous. Holbein makes terrific artist quality colors. Daniel in watercolor, Daniel Smith, Golden. So there are lots of really high quality manufacturers, and the differences between them in their professional grade colors really start to become a matter of personal preference. Sennelier. But where there really are the differences is when you look at when you compare professional grade versus a student grade, or even a really entry level grade. In a professional grade, the pigment is going to be the purest that manufacturer can access, and it's going to be milled in a way that maximizes what that pigment has to offer. So milling is really an art. You can over-mill pigments, you can bruise them, and then they start to go very dull. So when you mill the pigments, you want to mill them just to the right amount so that they refract light at their optimal level. And if you grind them so that they're too fine, they will lose some of those characteristics. If you don't grind them fine enough, you won't be able to access some of those characteristics. The highest quality manufacturers understand all of that and can exercise that art of grinding and milling to a degree so that you're able to maximize what each of those pigments has to offer. And every pigment is different. Every pigment has unique personality. Some pigments are granulating, some are flocculating, some are highly staining, some are larger particle size, so they do other kinds of things. But, each of those pigments is not only going to offer within those characteristics or categories a unique signature. As you work with them, and as you work with them a lot, you start to develop. Sorry, man, I can really get going on this. If you're looking at a student grade or an entry-level grade, those are going to be milled from typically a lesser quality pigment. It may actually not be the pigment that it says on the label. Like if it's cobalt blue, if you're looking at a student grade or an entry level grade, it may not really be cobalt. And then in those quality levels, there are invariably additives that are included in the milling process or in the mix. Those can be things that increase opacity. They can be things that are used to manage the stability of the dispersion, and those additives inevitably change the working and the optical properties of the color. So if you want to maximize and take best advantage of what a particular pigment can joyously bring to your process, use the best quality color that you can and recognize that if all you have is available, a student grade or entry level grade, and you still want to paint, then by all means paint. Put it on the surface, but recognize that it's not going to give you the same kind of options that a color that is made skillfully and with attention can really do for you and really enhance your expressive process. This isn't just about using good stuff because you like to use good stuff. These products can really open doors for you in an expressive way that can't be opened otherwise.
I feel like there are times when you can buy art supplies that feel too good to use for everyday practice. You may or may not appreciate what they're bringing to you. I can say to myself, I'm hesitant to use the good stuff because I'm not ready for it, but also I don't know that I'm appreciating it. After a while, you get used to it. That's one of the problems with raising the quality of what you use is that becomes foundational and you can never go below that again.
Well, so I love to cook and I love to cook fish. You know the difference between wet scallops and dry scallops?
The moisture content? No, I have no idea.
So wet packed scallops are scallops that have been caught out on the ocean, and then to preserve or to keep them as long as possible, they soak them in a variety of different chemicals that allow them to absorb a lot of moisture. And not only do they absorb a lot of moisture, but they also are really reluctant to release that moisture. So then you can, the scallops will keep for a long time and they may look really juicy and plump, but when it comes time to cook them, the moisture won't come out of them. So you end up, when you cook them, you end up these sad, soggy blobs. Mm-hmm. A dry scallop is a scallop that goes immediately to your fishmonger once it's been caught. And it will release the moisture. And when you cook it, you get that gorgeous, crisp sear. So you can put additives into a scallop. You can put additives to make it cheaper or to make the product last longer or suitable for a variety of different purposes in paint. But when you do that, you're reducing the essence of the paint. You're reducing the essence or compromising the essence of the pigment or the paint, and you're compromising the essence of the scallop, if that's what you're doing with the scallop. So, yeah, you can eat it. You can cook with a scallop that'll, you know, it tastes kind of scallopy. You can work with paint, which puts some color on the surface, but it's not going to give you everything that that scallop or that paint or that color has the capacity or the capability of giving you. Now, I think the question around, am I ready? Should I spend the money on that? It's like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? If you buy a really great quality product and you don't use it, then what's the point? I believe that a great quality paint or a great quality brush or a great quality surface, and I can talk forever about paper too. If you're just getting started or you're, you know, in the beginning of your career with this stuff, you will learn things from working with high quality materials that you can't learn if you're not using the materials that give you those doors to go through. So I'd say it is absolutely not a waste. And in fact, in many ways, it is less wasteful. It is more rewarding as a starting artist or somebody who's just on the beginning of their pathway with this to work with the good stuff, because you see things and you experience things and you have epiphanies that you could never have if you're not working with good quality color or good quality. If you're working with watercolors that won't granulate, that won't flocculate, that won't stain, that won't give you those personalities that come with each of those pigments, you know, every color is the same. Every color mix is the same. You don't find that there are some colors that have much greater tinting strength than others. You don't work with colors that gray down naturally to give you natural shadows if you're working in natural light. You don't get all of those capacities. And so everything starts to look the same and it feels the same. And you think, oh, I'm not getting anything that looks like, you know, what I want to look like. And you think it's your fault. You think, oh, I don't have any talent. I'm not good at this. When in fact, it's not you, it's the fact that the materials are not giving you the capacity to experience and to create and express what you could create and express if you're working with the materials that open those doors for you. It's also like musical instruments. Do you play anything?
No.
I think we've had this talk before. So
I've tried and failed at many instruments.
You know, but I bet you could do it if you tried.
Now I have a harmonica in the shower. That's about it.
And I bet you're fabulous.
Well, you'll have to come and take a shower with me sometime and I'll play it for you.
And I'll bring the guitar. So we'll do a guitar and harmonica a duet in the shower. Oh, my God. That's something that I can't unsee now. That's awful. Nobody's going to want to watch or listen to this.
Sorry, folks.
Oh, man. But, you know, like a guitar, that, you know, you can play a $50 guitar and you can get it somewhat in tune. But if you're playing a really high quality instrument and you get these sounds, it's like, oh, my God, it can sound like that.
Right.
I can get this sound out of an instrument. And all of a sudden opens doors for you, opens vistas for you and opportunities for you that you could never have if you didn't have that experience with a tool that gives you that capacity. If this were a musical, Danny, this is where I burst into song. I feel that strongly about this.
I mean, I've definitely had that experience where you use something and you say, oh, that's how they do that. Right? I've had
yes.
that experience, particularly like with watercolors, where you say, oh yeah, that's that effect. That's that thing. I assumed that was something I had to learn or something, but then even a simple thing like watching somebody loading a brush. I've had this experience several times where
yeah.
we've filmed, a class or a workshop with an artist and they have what seemed to me like way juicier palettes than I've ever experienced. And they dip their brush in once and whoo, it just loads up with all this color. And I think, wow, how did they do that? And then I'm used to sort of like, you know, miserly scraping away at something, and it just never does that. And I just didn't understand that that's a really good brush, or those are really good, you know, properly maintained watercolors as opposed to some dry, dusty old thing I pulled out of the closet.
Don't assume that it's you. It could very well be the materials that are getting in your way. Give yourself credit. Don't shut yourself down.
And maybe just try it. Just try it. I mean, invest in two tubes of paint and compare it with what you have on hand now, right?
Yeah. Oh, two tubes or three tubes of an artist quality or professional quality paint. If you've been using, you know, entry level or student grade paint, just two or three tubes of the really good stuff will change how you feel about working with color. And, you know, you can do that with great quality color. You can buy, you know, the three colors for mixing. You can buy the three primaries, you know, red, blue, yellow, and you can get some amazing things happen with just those three colors. And then you compare that with what you were working with before. Wow. Kapow.
Wow. Well, I hope you learned something from David today. He is the Art Geek's Art Geek. In fact, that's the name of his class in our Spark membership program. I also recommend his YouTube channel, Creative Energy with David Pyle. I'll give you details on where to find it in the show notes and in the description on YouTube. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time with more Art for All. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. And remember, visit sketchbookschool.com and claim your free ebook and your monthly newsletter. Our community is always growing, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Art for All.